This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex, a natural solution to chronic pain. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And today I think we're going to offer you a very unique and exciting podcast. And the reason that I've selected this guest is because her story brings together many elements of Intelligent Medicine, what you tune into Intelligent Medicine for. There's elements of an anti-aging program. There's also certainly importance of diet and an emphasis on exercise and lifelong fitness. Also, a remarkable story of personal self-transformation and positive psychology. But also a recurrent theme of Intelligent Medicine is inspiration for you, my audience, your families, and your loved ones. And I think you're going to find this story a really, really transformative story for you. So please listen up. Our guest is Sue Reynolds, and Sue is an ambassador for USA Triathlon. And that's one of the reasons why I selected her as a guest, because I'm a triathlete. I train in swimming, biking, and running. So this is something close to my heart. USA Triathlon is the governing body for triathlon in the USA. And her story is quite interesting. Because, well, Sue, you can relate the story yourself, but I imagine 5 years ago, you couldn't have envisioned yourself in this particular situation, correct?
That's absolutely true. 5 years ago, I weighed 335 pounds, and at that point, I couldn't even tie my shoes. I couldn't get beyond my stomach to reach my feet. So no, back then, if you had told me that I was going to be doing triathlons and would be loving to exercise, there's no way in the world I ever would have envisioned that.
And I don't want to out you, but you know, I think your age is relevant to this. You are a grandmother by your own admission. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm a grandma. I have four grandchildren, three granddaughters, and one grandson that was just born a couple months ago. So, yes, so I'm 64 years old, and in triathlon, you race at the age that you are at on the last day of the calendar year. Mm-hmm. So I'll be 65 on New Year's Eve, so I'm racing in the 65 to 70 age group this year.
Excellent. Well, lucky you, because and my strategy is I am slow but tenacious. And the only way that I'm ever going to get on the podium, actually, I was on the podium once, but it was a relatively small field, if I manage to keep doing this into my 60s and 70s, and then just by attrition, you know, I'll be the last man standing. And you know, maybe you too will, achieve honors and win your age group in one of these events. But just being in it, I think that's the glory. So, okay, obviously, you undertook exercise at a relatively late stage in life. What got you to change? What was the, did you have an epiphany at a certain age that, you know, this ain't good and I got to do something about it?
Yeah, I think I have always, I mean, probably since the time I was, 15, have been trying to diet and lose weight. And, you know, I always wanted to be thinner, but was heavy most of my life. Really, for the past 40 years, I've been kind of heavy. And one morning, I was just one of those moments where I just said, enough. And I think I really felt that more than I ever had before. I just was really tired of all the things that I couldn't do. Some things I couldn't do because of my size, like I couldn't fit into a restaurant booth. So I always had to make sure I sat at a table with chairs. Some things I couldn't do because of my fitness. I couldn't, you know, walk more than maybe 50 meters, 50 yards. And then one morning that was just it. I'd had enough and, you know, decided that I wanted to be someone different than I was at that point in time.
Well, so ultimately you started at, 300 and some odd pounds. So how much weight did you lose cumulatively and over what period of time?
So I lost 200 pounds altogether. So this morning on the scale, I was 135.
And you're how tall?
And I'm 5'7".
Okay. So. And that's just about right for a triathlete, because, you know, we pay extra so we can have carbon pedals and, you know, all
right,
kinds of lightweight accoutrements on our bikes just to take a few ounces off our bikes. But then we're schlepping around extra weight on our bodies, and that doesn't make a lot of sense. So that's, you know, the guys who are banging out the Tour de France right now are pretty lean and mean.
Absolutely. And that was one of the bigger challenges of this whole journey, was to figure out exactly how much I wanted to weigh. You know, as I started getting closer to my ideal weight, it was, what's my ideal race weight? And so that we really experimented with anything from 150, 145, and finally my ideal race weight was 135, and I'm not going any lower than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what's interesting is now you might be worried about going underweight, because you're
right.
Actually, if you look at your BMI, and you know, this is something that's a rather suspect metric of optimal weight, but actually, you know, we're getting down to the teens in terms of your BMI, and that might be considered underweight. So, okay, so
right.
You know, what happened? Did you develop an eating disorder? Did you have a gastric bypass surgery? I mean, what was your secret to weight loss?
Yeah, well, I think what I ended up doing was just I call it a sound nutrition plan. I just started eating whole foods and didn't leave out any food groups. So I was still eating, you know, carbs and fats and proteins. But I just ate smart. And I actually, when I first started this journey, I lost about 60 pounds and I gained it all back.
As so often happens, right?
Yes. But the difference was that diet program, like every other diet I had always ever been on, it was about counting calories or counting points.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would do is I would, you know, I'd lose weight by not going over my calorie limit or my point limit, but I was eating all of my points or calories in candy bars and cookies.
Yeah.
And what I found was that wasn't very sustainable over time. So then I switched to a whole foods plan that really was just about eating smart. And that was sustainable. I mean, I lost the weight over 2.5 years, and I've kept it off for 2 years. So I'm just really, really pleased. And I don't crave the foods that I used to crave anymore. I really enjoy the way that I'm eating, and it's just working for me.
Now, you, in our email exchanges, you said you did a little research on me, and you came across an article that I wrote entitled, "Can You Really Lose 40 Pounds in 40 Days?" And by the way, that's not an article that's meant to dissuade people from trying to lose weight, but there are weight loss programs out there. And frequently, if you listen to AM radio, it's, you know, our customers typically lose 30 to 50 pounds in 40 days. And I'm thinking, and I wrote this in the article, quite frankly, that is a scam, and they're doing people a tremendous disservice by having them have precipitous weight loss. So what's your take on it? When you read that article, did you say, well, you know, I managed to lose 200 pounds, I disagree, or were you on board with what I was saying?
No, I was totally on board. I don't think there is any magic bullet that's going to cause people to lose, you know, 40 pounds in 40 days. And I think that's one of the mindsets that really helped me be successful, was that when I started this time, I decided that this wasn't going to be a diet. It was going to be a lifestyle change. And I acknowledged up front that if I were going to do this in a healthy way and lose 1 to 2 pounds per week, that it was going to take multiple years for me to make the progress. And
so you changed your psychology because you admit that you've been an inveterate dieter since your teen years, you know, jumping on and off the scale, being on this, that, the other diet program. Could you tell us a little bit about your failures and, you know, what that was like prior to this attitude transformation?
Yeah, I don't think that there was any point in time where I said, oh, this is a failure. But I just watched my weight go up and down and up and down. I suppose on the down slopes, I was failing. But what would happen is that when I was, you know, eating less, but not eating healthy, like I was, you know, just eating, I don't know, just a box of cookies and that was it for the day. And I was losing weight because there was less calories, but it wasn't sustainable. I just wanted to crave more cookies. Yep.
It perpetuated your cravings and ultimately the body just wants to bounce back.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I don't think there's any quick fix. I think that people that want to lose a lot of weight, I guess I think that any big goal is just a series of sound choices over time. Mm-hmm. And I committed in the beginning to just make, you know, a sound choice every day, to eat the way I wanted to. And after a while, it got really easy to do, which was totally surprising to me. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So
did you find that you had trouble adjusting to the flavors of healthy foods? I mean, actually, I think that a lot of people are kind of beyond the pale in terms of their ability to lose weight because their taste buds are so distorted by highly processed foods that are rich in fats and sugars and even artificial flavorings, so that their brains constantly require the stimulation from those foods. And when they eat, you know, like a salad, they go, ugh, that's just not satisfying.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's true. And one of the things I think in this whole journey, I've kind of developed little tricks to help with things like that. And one of them is that in the beginning, I just used a lot of spices and so that the food would have flavor. So I just spiced everything. And then my other little trick that the other thing I really liked about eating, and I still love about eating is I like to graze and I like eating, for example, popcorn and potato chips because I get to like constantly put things in my mouth. So a little thing I discovered is that if I took an apple and, which is a healthy carb and sliced it paper thin, mm-hmm. I could eat it like potato chips.
One
little piece in my mouth at a time.
So even those dreaded carbs did not set your cause back because so many people these days are enamored of a ketogenic diet.
Right.
We could talk a little bit about that because that actually is figuring prominently in the training of some triathletes these days. It's a popular way to go.
Yes, exactly. And that's another thing that I think is really important is that I think there are many different, and you talked about this in your article as well, there are different diet plans that work. I think the important thing is to find one that works for you. And my coach uses a ketogenic diet, and it is great for him. I use a whole foods diet, and it works great for me. But the thing is, I think, is what diet can you stick with over time? I think that's the key.
Sustainability. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause because we want to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message with you. So here goes. Listen up. Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? Living with pain can cause depression, overeating, anxiety, loss of sleep, and low quality of life. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals. Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposome technology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. It contains powerful antioxidant properties and plant-based curcumin used to possibly reduce inflammation and block proteins that trigger swelling and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216. Or go to myfuturefarm.com. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. And now back to our guest, Sue Reynolds. Where did exercise fit in? Because at 335 pounds, I'm not sure that you would want to jump on a triathlon bike with one of those narrow seats and, charge towards the finish line. I'm not sure that would have been a workable proposition.
Yeah, that as I look back, that kind of surprised me. And that really was one of the hardest things to do in the beginning, was to just get started exercising. I mean, I literally hadn't been off the couch. It was hard for me even to stand and talk at the same time. Mm. It was just, I was just obese, and, exercising at all was really hard. So my first exercise, I will never forget this. My husband said, "Let's go for a walk." And I, after saying no a million times, for some reason, I said yes.
Yeah. There's a certain inertia you have to overcome, after so many years.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so we walked out the back door. I walked to my neighbor, and I was holding on to his arm and probably putting, half of my weight onto him. And we walked to the neighbor's driveway, which, was maybe, 200 feet away. Not very far. And I turned around and came home, and I was done. I was exhausted. But I also felt good because I had exercised. And even though I couldn't go very far, it was farther than I had ever been before, It was great. And then the next day, we walked to the next neighbor's driveway. And the next day, we walked to the third neighbor's driveway. And just little by little, I just, kept walking. And it wasn't easy. I wasn't going to run in the beginning, but I was kind of shuffling. But then one day, I think this is kind of funny. I was just feeling really, really good. And we started walking east, and we walked a mile and a half east. And the only way to get home was to walk a mile and a half west. Well, that was 3 miles or a 5K. Mm-hmm. And so I did my 5K only because if I hadn't, I never would have gotten home.
Right. That's one of the ways. That's sort of what I did this morning. I took I went out 15 miles knowing that I'd have to come back 50. When you go out 15 miles, you got to come back 50. Fortunately, I went out against the wind, and the wind was at my back coming back. So it's always rewarding. That's the best kind of ride.
That's a good plan.
I looked at the wind conditions, before. So you started with slow increments of exercise. Where did triathlon enter into this? Because this is a highly specialized skill, as riding a bike fast. It starts with a swim, then there's a bike ride, and then there's a run. So, 335-pound folks don't do too well on the run.
Exactly. So, the first thing was, once I had done that, walked that 5K, I realized that I could walk a 5K. And one of my sons encouraged me to enter a 5K event that was for walkers and runners. So my first 5K event was a walk. It was to this day, and I've been to the World Triathlon Championship 3 times. I was 6th in the world last year in the sprint distance. But to this day, that first walk of the 5K was the hardest event I've ever done. Looking back, I know that my heart rate was way, way, way high. Mm-hmm. Probably,
in the red zone. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just a really hard event. But oh my gosh, when I crossed that finish line walking, that was the best feeling I have ever had. I felt like I had won the Boston Marathon. It was just fantastic. So I went from there, from walking, to wondering if I could run a little bit. And I ran maybe 10 feet and thought, okay, I've run 10 feet, literally 10 feet. So then I got involved in a program called Couch to 5K. It was an app on my phone.
It's a pretty popular program.
Yes, yep. And very, and it's free. I really recommend that to people that are beginning to think about running, because it increases what you do is it, there's a little voice that says run, and then you run, and the first time you run, you might run for 20 seconds. And
it's intervals, the principle is intervals. You run, walk, run, walk. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
With recovery, so that, yeah. And then finally you build it into a continuous run.
Yeah. So I did couch to 5K and got to the point where I could run for 30 minutes. And then I ran a 5K event. Mm. So that was that.
Do you recall what weight you were when you were able to accomplish a 5K run?
Yeah. My first 5K run, I was at 233 pounds.
So for a listening audience, being overweight is not incompatible with high levels of exercise. Overweight people can exercise, and it's only going to bring your weight down further because it's kind of the spark plug that ignites your metabolism. I mean, diet is, I think, reigns supreme in terms of helping people lose weight, but exercise should not be discounted.
Right. And the other thing for me that I think exercise did is that when I would work hard with exercising, then I psychologically, mm-hmm. I didn't want to blow it by eating.
Yes.
Yep. So it motivated me not to eat as well.
The next morning's run is going to be a lot harder if you put the feed bag on the night before.
Exactly. Yeah. So and then in terms of adding the next thing I added in was the swim. And that started with a water aerobics class.
Mm-hmm. Had you always been a swimmer? Did you have a background as a swimmer?
I swam a little bit when I was a kid, so like when I was 7, 8 years old.
Mm-hmm. But you weren't a high school or college competitive athlete.
No, because at my age, women, there were no sports for girls.
Yes.
So exactly. That's another reason why mm-hmm. I didn't do any exercise till I was 60, because it just wasn't available when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just started swimming some lengths. I think the first time I tried to swim lengths, my first length was with a kickboard, so I wouldn't drown.
Yeah.
And then I did some breaststroke, and finally got to the point where I just kept increasing the distance a little bit. And then the light bulb went off. Gosh, and I, to be honest, I don't know what made me think this. I only knew about the Ironman distance triathlon, and for some reason I got in my head that I was going to do an Ironman distance, and which is, it's an event that takes 8, 9, 10 hours to complete.
2.5 mile swim followed by what is 114 mile bike ride, or approximately. And then followed by a full marathon, 26-mile run. Yeah.
Right. So I thought, well, I'll just make that my focal point. And I think really what I was doing is trying to give my exercise some focus.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I've got to add on the bike. And so I took a spin class, and my first spin class was awful. When I got off the bike, my legs literally, my legs were rubber. I mean, it just, mm-hmm. I couldn't support mm-hmm. myself. It was awful. But I came back for the second week, and did much better, and that kept improving. So then I tried an indoor triathlon, which meant that I was, yes. And I think for anyone who's thinking about starting in triathlon, it's an indoor swim and pool. Mm-hmm. So, you don't have to worry about swimming in the lake.
The YMCA sponsors them. And by the way, you've written a very nice article for the YMCA, which is at Monroe County YMCA. If you Google that article, it's from June 1st, 2017. But obviously the Y has been a partner with you in transforming your life, which it does for a lot of people.
Absolutely. So, our YMCA has been absolutely wonderful and offers so many programs that help people with weight loss as well as with exercise. So I did my first indoor try, and then I didn't tell anybody that I was doing this. I did this all, without. My husband knew, but nobody else knew. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure I could finish. And then finally I tried an outdoor triathlon, and I wasn't sure I was going to make it, and I had no clue what I was doing. I literally, after, I mean, I dog paddled some of the swim. Right. I literally did to look around. And between the swim and the bike, I didn't really understand that that was part of the race. That mm-hmm. I sat down and ate a sandwich and brushed my hair in the first transition.
Right. So, it was a transition. I mean, you got to have a snack, right?
Yeah. Yes. You got to look good. Yeah. So, but I finished, and I finished dead last, but mm-hmm. I came across the finish line and held one finger up in the air because in my mind, I was number one.
There you go.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe that I had finished a triathlon. So that was fantastic.
That is a wonderful accomplishment. But you've gone much further than that, and I want to hear the rest of your story. For listening audience, we divide our podcast into two parts. We're talking today to Sue Reynolds, who is a grandma. She's age 64. She's an ambassador for USA Triathlon. She has lost 200 pounds via diet and exercise, and she's a shining example of personal self-transformation and a real role model, and really illustrates the point that it's you're never too far gone. It's never too late. She exemplifies that, and that's one of the reasons we're sharing her story here on Intelligent Medicine. More to come in part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.